This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, this is Ed Stoven. Dave Stahl is just walking in. He had to go down to his car to get something. And this is San Diego Coalition Off-Road Radio.
FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
Oh. All right. Hey, this is brought to you by Scooney Side-by-Side in El Cajon, right off Greenfield. They deal in side-by-side, UTV. They do service, accessories, upgrades, lights, winches. They got a beautiful display room. They'll do maintenance. If you ever get yourself in a fender bender, they do insurance repairs. You really need to check out Scoonies. That's S-C-H-O-O-N-Y apostrophe S right there in El Cajon. All right, Audrey's not with us today. She decided a picnic was going to be a lot more fun than hanging out in radio. So she's at Oceana Dunes eating barbecue, I'm sure. And we got Ed with us. So this will be Ed's show, and he'll have a whole hour just to talk politics.
Oh boy, love that stuff. So Audrey went to Friends of Oceana Dunes fundraising barbecue. It was yesterday afternoon, and I didn't realize it
yesterday
was sold
afternoon.
Out.
What's today?
Today's Sunday. It was Saturday afternoon.
So where is she at? If it was the barbecue was yesterday.
It's a 6-hour drive.
Oh.
So it's hard to come home from there. I don't know what she's doing. Hopefully she's driving around in the sand dunes with her Jeep.
Not for more than a mile.
Well, you can go. You can actually get a lot of off-roading in a square mile. Back and forth, up and down the dunes.
All right. So what do you got?
I wanted to go, and it was sold out when I realized. And I thought I could pull some rank and get in there, and it was genuinely sold out.
Wow.
So that's a big fundraiser for them. I understand they make a lot of money. They sell the barbecue, they have a raffle, and they do other little fun things. So that's the reason. Part of the reason I wanted to go is not just to support them, which is one thing I wanted, but also is to learn how their formula works for a big fundraiser. How do they put this together so that they make money? And there's another fundraiser coming that I also won't be able to go to. It's called the Gun Prom. Did you hear of that? That Michael Schwartz and the San Diego Gun Owners Association are doing on September 16th.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't be able to attend that because I'm going on the Trans-America Trail.
Mm-hmm.
I'm driving a motorcycle across America from Oregon to South Carolina. And I'll be gone the whole month, so I won't be on the radio then.
Mm-hmm.
I may be able to call in. We'll see how cell service and my location goes. But I'm not going to be in studio for that whole month. So these fundraisers, like that's how we operate. We need operating money. And Audrey and I have been lamenting losing our lobbyist, Kathy Lynch, for a year and a half now. And we would love to get a lobbyist. The price of them have gone up. We did that big jamboree in Lakeside. And we made enough money to maybe get back into the ring.
Yeah, but you got to have constant. You can't have just a one-shot deal. I mean, you got to have enough fundraisers to come up to keep this person employed.
Absolutely.
And that's where
I'm pretty sure Corva will come with us. And at the same time, the last bill that we were really interested in this year in California got held in the committee. That Rebecca Kahn Bauer, the assemblywoman who's the chair of the Water Parks and Wildlife Committee, she held the bill. And she's the one who gave us a lot of trouble over at Carnegie State Vehicular Recreation Area when we were trying to get the expansion land incorporated into the park, and it ended up getting sold away. So we could sure use a lobbyist. Now, for the rest of this legislative cycle, do we need one? We don't live and die by it like we could have. But the bill that got held was the Brian Jones SB 708, the bill that would make it so that racing motorcycles could get a registration. It wouldn't allow them to go on public land. That was already determined by the California Air Resources people. But they still can't get any registration for those. So,
do you see the community that's in this world complaining?
A few of them do, but it's not the big rush like no, you would
so,
expect.
No, so I mean, why waste anybody's time and money on a bill that nobody cares about? I mean, just being a little hardcore here, I mean, you would think if they were going to take away your motorcycle, if they were going to put a bill on the books that is going to take away your motorcycle, would you get involved?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'd be kicking down the door.
And you know it's getting close. It's coming to that. I don't know if you can see the forest through the
death
trees.
Death by a thousand cuts.
It's coming, dude. I'm coming. And if we're not ready and if we don't start the fight today, that's why Michael Schwartz does what he does. I mean, he is everywhere. He's on every TV station. We're not on any TV station.
Nice.
And he's no different than you. All he has to do, he just calls up and says, hey, I want to talk about a bill that's going to close XYZ lake or trails. And every TV station in town will bring him in because it's content. See, and that's why I'm saying, you know, we've made a big deal out of this red sticker bikes. And I've even talked to the dealers, and the dealers could care less. They're still selling them.
They're still selling them.
Sure.
I sat down with a sales manager a few days ago.
Yeah.
He says they're putting in for red stickers and they're all getting registrations.
That's what I'm saying. So
that's weird to me. The DMV is not doing their job.
They don't. They already said they couldn't do that job, right? Well, they said they needed $20 million to institute a red sticker program, which is so. That's what I'm saying.
But the thing is, like, they charged us, or they wanted to cost us a lot of money to redo the program. But they're still living in the old program.
Right.
They're still living in the past. It's been two model years now, and they are giving out, it's almost three model years.
You know why? Because
they're doing red stickers single one, guy said.
Well, I know. I've done the same homework you've done. And, you know, they just say, they don't look to see if it's a red sticker bike or green sticker bike.
They're not checking the seventh digit.
They just say, how much money do they spend for registration? Okay, cash the check.
They're taking the money, yeah.
And the legislators make the rule, and nobody enforces it. Give you an example. The Can-Am Spider, you know, the Slingshot. That's the one that's
three,
got
the two front wheels and one back wheel.
You got a car engine. Okay, and you got, and you don't, and I asked, what about helmets? We don't know. We don't know. Highway Patrol doesn't even know. So the right hand's not talking to the left hand.
You know, with those things, that's categorized as a motorcycle. If it has fewer than four wheels.
You don't have to have a motorcycle license. But you have to wear a helmet. Says right, they actually have a sticker that goes up from the shifter up to the top of the, between a driver and passenger. It not only does it say you have to have a helmet, but it has to be full face. I know. I got
what?
Stopped.
A sticker? Because I know a lot about this stuff, and there's no differentiation in the helmet law between an open face and a
according
full
to
face.
If you look at the Slingshot manufacturer vehicle, there is a sticker.
What?
Provided, and I'm sure the government told them.
Which government? Is like state? Because I've never heard that. What state? All you did, state?
No, go down and look. I know. I got stopped by a highway patrolman. Where? I didn't have my helmet on, right on I-15. And he goes, where's your helmet? And I says, I don't need a helmet. He goes, why do you say that? I went down to your highway patrol office, right off of Greenfield, walked in and talked to a big tall guy in a suit with blonde hair. He goes, oh yeah, it's Larry. Well, Larry says they don't know nothing about it. And he says, well, Larry hasn't looked at one of these. See that sticker right there? It says, according to the manufacturer, you have to wear a full-face DOT helmet.
That's just weird. I want to look at one.
Sure, go down to the dealership. Let's take a quick break. This is STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
You don't have to agree. This is FM 96.1 AM 1170, the STORC Dirt Radio Show, brought to you by Gravel King, off-road racing lifestyle and content creator, bringing you new content every week on YouTube. Need to check these guys out. Go follow Gravel Kings at www.gravelking.com. All right, so we talked about the red sticker. Nobody's paying any attention, and everybody's selling red sticker bikes. Okay, so that was a bill that was kind of a waste of time and paper.
That was the fourth time Brian Jones carried a bill to help fix
the red sticker.
Just,
somebody needs to go to... Brian, excuse me, have you talked to the dealers? They're selling the crap out of the bikes. The manufacturers aren't fighting. Honda, Kawasaki, Suzuki. They're just building them like crazy. And that was only for the state of California, correct?
Correct. Well, only California.
No one's going to pay attention to the state.
Plausible deniability.
Right.
So, another advocate, we've really discussed this, and she told me that, you know, this bill may not be such a good thing, because if you're out in the desert with your red sticker bike and no sticker on it, and you say, hey, they didn't give me a sticker. I don't know. I'm just riding. Well, there's plausible deniability. But if you get the sticker that Brian Jones's bill would allow you to get, and you're out in the desert where you're not supposed to be, the law enforcement can say, look, you have the sticker. If you have that sticker, you should know that you're not supposed to be here.
You see, you're going to jail.
So here's your citation.
That's
signed
right
at the bottom.
Hey, I bought a trailer from Tractor Supply.
Yes.
So I got my little bill of sale. I got my, you know, the receipt that I bought it, and I've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting.
Oh, for your permanent license.
And a license plate.
License plate.
Of course, my wife, she says, well, we got another trailer. Just take the plate off of that and put it on the other, which is where the problem lies. I go, no, I'm going to be legal. That's why I do the shows I do. I cannot say one
there
bad
thing.
There
is a right way to do it, exactly. Yes.
So I go down to this. This is the best place. It's, you know, Get Tags. It's in Alpine. It's just like a little one door shack.
Oh, I love those.
And this girl, and I love this girl. She is so good. She goes, they're not going to give you a plate. $172, please. I'm thinking, okay, that's fine. You know, because they don't deal with DMV. But it would have been nice if they would have said something. So,
can I share some?
Have you talked to Brian about this, actually?
His staff, Danielle. She does the legislative
and
stuff.
And what does she say about it? Why no? Why they're still selling bikes?
I didn't talk to her about that particular part. And she's like, she doesn't know. She doesn't go to bike shops.
Right.
She's like, how do we craft this bill to make it so it'll work?
Yeah. That no one's going to pay any attention to.
So can I share some good news with you, Dave?
I doubt it. You don't have any good news. You're okay. Mr. Bad News. There's this little cloud that's above your head.
There was a guy that used to do what I do with STRC, Roy Denner. Did you know Roy?
Yeah.
So we called him Doomsday Denner. Because he'd come into the meetings and he'd stand there for 20 minutes, tell us about all the garbage coming.
Well,
we're going to lose this. We're going to lose that.
No offense. You're following pretty close there.
They're going to turn to screw. So, I'm taking over Doomsday's job. God bless that
guy.
Get
you a t-shirt. Did he
pass
away?
I miss him. Yeah, he died. He had pancreatic cancer.
Probably because of all the stress he was under.
Oh, yeah. He was a good guy. He made a lot of money in the computer business in the early days. He developed a business and sold it and retired.
Wow.
And he and his wife got the kids had moved out. They bought a sailboat and they sailed around the Bahamas.
Oh,
like
wow. Around South America.
Off of the east coast, like all those islands. Like, what a wonderful lifestyle.
See,
I'd
be scared to do that because of all of the pirates that are out there.
No, that area is okay. It's like it's the Indian Ocean where you're really going to have problems.
Anyway, he has some good news.
So the Indian Truck Trail is getting reopened. Okay, what the heck is that? That's in the Cleveland National Forest in the Tribuco District. So that's in Orange County. So if you're over by like Dana Point and that area and you go to the east,
mm-hmm.
you're going to run into Cleveland National Forest. There's like a mountainy area. Before you finally come down into Lake Elsinore, there's this big swath of Cleveland National Forest. Hmm. And there's a few roads over there. There's some mountains you can ride up. And the Indian Truck Trail was closed about a year and a half ago. There was a fire that that went across it, and there was some long-deferred maintenance that the forest never did. And the forest decided, well, we need to close the road. So the road was closed, and a group came together. They call themselves the Cleveland Caretakers. They live over there, and they wanted to get that road back into service. So they came to Corva, and disclosure, I'm a Corva director. I've been a director for 18 years. So the Cleveland Caretakers, they came to Corva, and Amy Granite and Bruce Witcher, Corva directors, they both worked on it. And Bruce is also the president of the California Trail Users Coalition. And he helped them to get a grant from the county, from Riverside County. And then the forest matched that grant. And they set to work, working on getting the road rehabilitated. And I understand it's opened, but it's not quite ready for to go on social media. And I don't even know if I'm supposed to be talking about it now. But it'll be open in the next few days if it's not open right now. So that's really great. Let's see. They've been working with a local contractor. The forest ended up matching the amount granted by the county, which has enabled the trail to be open today. So I'm pretty happy about that. I've never been on it. I will be going over there soon to check it out. I think they're going to have a little party, so I'm going to look at it. Mojave Desert Tortoise. Off-roaders in California have lost more acres to the desert tortoise than any other cause. So we can thank the people who put that on the endangered species list and all the strict rules that have come into play. And it has caused people to do all kind of crazy stuff to protect that tortoise.
The windmills don't hurt the tortoise, though, do they?
I don't know. The solar places do, though. The solar facilities are hard on a tortoise.
Yeah, but that's...
Yes, they could maybe walk along underneath it, but they clear away all the vegetation. Like, they smooth out the land to put a solar facility. So it's basically, for the most part, it's total habitat destruction. Mm-hmm. Like, a windmill is not as destructive to the land as a solar project.
Right. Because you only have to put a road out and a pad.
You have a road, yeah, and a small pad, and... the problem with the windmills is it hurts birds of prey.
Right.
Birds of prey have this long distance vision. They're far up and they're looking at some little critter they're flying towards, and then they don't really notice the windmill blade.
Well, you think they would have painted the windmills a certain color so that, you know, they stand out, you know, something that a bird could see.
And that's one of those hard decisions. Do we paint it so the birds see it, or so do we paint it white so the people don't complain?
We already complain. Are you kidding? You can see those freaking things miles and miles away. It makes me crazy. If I go to Arizona and over half of them aren't spinning, and I stop to get out of the car and it's blowing like crazy, but they're not spinning.
Have you ever been out there at night when the windmills are going?
No.
They have a red light on top. And so, like the Ocotillo Project, mm-hmm. right down in the local desert, that's where I visit more often. There's red lights all over the desert.
Sure.
Airplanes
don't hit them.
Yes, I agree.
Who flies that low?
Well, you shouldn't be that low. But, you know, here's my idea, is that you put a bowl around the light so people from the ground can't see it, but the people up above can see it fine. So I'll get that to them.
I can imagine that would be – I mean, it takes away the enjoyment
and they
of
blink.
Staying up. That just takes away the enjoyment of being out in the desert.
Like, you want to go to the desert and go to this raw, natural place, and
you go
it's
to a
quiet
light show.
Yeah, and there's all the lights blinking over there. And if you're next to them, they're not quiet. They're like, they're whizzing.
Oh, yeah. No,
whizzing sound.
And, yeah, I'd seen one the other day. I was going out that way. Oil just pouring down the side of the shaft.
Really?
Yeah. Where do you think that oil was going? Into the ground.
Right. And what do they call that? Make it a Superfund site?
Yep.
So, let's see.
No.
Was I talking about the tortoise?
Yep. Still talking about the tortoise.
Okay, we got to the desert tortoise. So we lost a lot of acres to the desert tortoise. So the service, that's the Fish and Wildlife Service, the federal, has opened public scoping period to make a draft environmental impact statement for a general conservation plan for the federally listed Mojave Desert Tortoise of California. So there, that's what's going on.
So they're
going
to close even more land.
Likely. Yeah. It's likely. So scoping is the very first part of these kind of projects. It's called a NEPA project, National Environmental Policy Act. Mm-hmm. So the very first thing they do is they say, we're interested in doing this. What does the public think about it? And they're trying to figure out the scope of the project. So this is scoping. So there's a comment period that just opened on scoping for the desert tortoise. So I need to study it and get up to speed and
have
get.
Have you ever seen a tortoise out there?
I have.
How many? A
couple times, like twice.
How many tortoises would you say you've seen?
Two.
Okay.
Out there. One was in Las Vegas.
And how many acres and acres and acres and acres and acres and acres and acres?
Oh, in the millions.
Do you ride?
Oh, do I ride? I cover some ground.
And you've only seen two?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you see a problem with that?
They have a large amount of land that they cover. Well, my normal stomping ground is in Imperial County, and that's not desert tortoise habitat.
Okay.
Right? Like, if I were to go up to the Mojave, I would expect to see more.
Ah, okay.
And I was riding south of Las Vegas when I saw one of them. Nelson Hills, which is, I don't know, half an hour south of the Strip.
Are they hard to see?
No. Their top, the biggest they get is about 12, 13 inches across. And they're kind of the greenish brown color.
Okay.
They kind of a hump.
Right, yeah.
And they just walk along on the desert.
Well, if they want to protect them, spray paint them iridescent orange. It'll go with the red lights on top of the...
Their season is kind of the opposite of our season in the desert. They like the heat. They come out in the spring.
Right, okay.
And so they hibernate in the fall.
Park. Yeah.
So you don't see them that much.
So how, why would that not fall into?
Here's the crazy thing. Okay. So when they started working on them, they started to collect them. They would they'd put them in a bag and they'd take them to their little spot and they would look, they weigh them and do stuff and tag them, and then they take them back and let them go again. Then they pick up the next one. So they use the same bag over and over again. Well, it turned out that the reason their numbers were going down is because of a respiratory virus that they were getting. And by putting them in the bag, they were actually spreading the virus.
So they need a vaccine.
People trying to help. Yeah, let's call the vaccine people.
And get this. Look at all the whales on the East Coast that are dying because of the windmills, alleged. But nobody cares about those. All right, let's take a quick break.
I don't even know.
SDORC, Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, hey, welcome back. This is SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
It's brought to you by Dirt Company. Dirt Company is the off-road lifestyle brand that was founded in the desert of Southern California. Quality everything. Tag US Dirt CO. It's an off-road, like I said, mecca for legendary racing teams as well. You need to go to www.dirtco.com. SNS Off-Road Magazine, great. It's not a magazine so much anymore as it's online, which gives you more content, more pages. Go to SSORMAG.com. You need to subscribe and like. You can find everything you want to know about the off-road community, especially when it comes. Even Ed writes nice articles on there to keep you abreast of what's going on from a legal point of view. Go to SSORMAG.com. To keep totally in tune as to what's going on in the desert.
Did you see their last Facebook post, mm-hmm. SNS Off-Road? They want to know what's your gnarliest injury and if you have a picture of it, too, because they want to do a whole story on that.
Yeah.
And man, oh, man. Ed had some, like, crazy stories on his ones, if you've heard of those.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, so... there was this old show called MTV Scarred, and man, I hated that show, but I loved it at the same time, like seeing all these guys and how bad their injuries are. Yeah, yeah, it's quite interesting. So I'll look for that article out there.
I would call it Hold My Beer. That's what I would call it.
Yeah, that we don't like to go on it. Like the racers, we don't talk about our injuries that much. We talk about our bikes and our victories and the big jump we cleared.
Right. Heck, you know, Evel Knievel, one of the like least favorite questions I get from him is like, what was your thought when you were at this point in your jump? What was your thought? And I'm like, dude, like the last thing I think in his mind was, did I leave the oven on? Did I make sure that,
exactly. You know,
obviously he's thinking about, okay, how am I going to land this? Okay, so I need to put the bike
or
at this
position.
Or better
yet, how much is going to break and how long am I going to be in the hospital?
Exactly, one of those two things.
This is going to hurt.
Yeah, or this is
going to
hurt.
Did I pay my insurance?
Yeah. God.
All
right, so what do you got next?
I've broken a lot of bones. I've broken 38 bones in my life.
Jesus. So far, two for me. That's it.
Two?
Yeah. I'm 27 years old. Still only two. So.
See, yeah, but what were you doing?
Let's see. Pinky was because I was playing basketball. I didn't get one of those finger braces, so I don't know if you could tell from here, but my bone is sticking out like an alien on my right hand pinky, and then it's a normal pinky on the other side as a comparison. Other one, I was sand duning over at... somewhere in Oregon. I can't remember the name of the place now off the top of my head, but I misjudged a hill and I flipped over the bike and the ATV landed right on my arm. Mm. And out of all the things that broke in my right arm, it was just my wrist of all things that it actually broke. Everything else was just fine. I was surprised because that ATV is heavy, you know.
Next time somebody asks you about crashes, forget about the pinky.
No, I will.
Stick with the arm. At least listen,
that pinky was hurting like crazy because I couldn't play basketball anymore there. I was like, man, I thought I could keep going because, you know, all these NBA players, they can just tape it up and they're
good. It's just a pinky.
I know.
Forget that stuff. Yeah. All right, Dave. So let's get back to business. The Blue Ribbon Coalition reported that Senator Wyden from Oregon has introduced a bill that would make some wilderness in Idaho and Oregon, mostly in Oregon. Are you ready for this? 1,134,292 acres.
Wow.
That is a lot of land. That is such a huge amount of land. So I just did my comments on the BLM conservation plan, and I did a little research, and I was upset that they want to do another round of conservation. So I did a little research, and I found out that currently... in the United States, federally, we have 111.7 million acres of wilderness. So, yeah, do we need another million plus acres of wilderness? And also, I don't know if you knew that California has its own wilderness bill, its own wilderness act, and there is many tens of thousands of acres of California wilderness. So what happens in wilderness? Well, there's no mining. There's no mechanized recreation, and maybe worst of all is there's no fire suppression or fire fuel load reduction. And that's really big. Like maybe people don't care about off-roading or mining or getting some trees for firewood or for construction, but this fire suppression thing, it's a big deal. And people are worried about global warming. And not only does a fire warm the globe, especially one of these giant wildfires, but they release huge amounts of carbon dioxide. So we're talking about like a Prius versus a gas burning car, and like, oh, you better run an electric car or a hybrid. Well, a forest fire, when you burn thousands of acres, there is a huge amount of carbon dioxide that's released. So in wilderness, there is no mechanized travel. There's no mechanized use. If you've ever been out in the backcountry and you've seen one of those remote weather stations, there'll be a little solar thing, a little solar panel. And there's the part that spins that tells the airspeed. It tells the humidity, the temperature, and then it radio sends it over to headquarters. Well, you don't get that in a wilderness. Not only is there no Jeeps or motorcycles in a wilderness, but there's no mountain bikes and there's no wheelchairs. And one of the problems with these wildfires is the fuel load goes up. So last winter, we had a lot of rain. There was a lot of rain in California and all over the West. And so what happens in the spring? All these plants grow. All the weeds and all the little plants and bushes grow. And then what happens in the summer and in the fall? Well, they dry out, and boy, you have a lot of fuel load. Just a lot of fuel for a fire. And once those fires get going, they are hard to stop. They run fast and hard. So we're pretty worried that this coming fall, there's going to be a lot of fires. And so there's not going to be any fuel load reduction work in these forests should this wilderness bill pass. And there's not going to be the dedicated fire suppression activities if there is a wildfire. And like, what do? Well, they drive out there. They bring their heavy equipment out into the forest, and they bring the people with all their equipment. You can't do that in a wilderness. So, yes, sir. Dave's back.
Can't have dead air.
Brought Scoonies in for their next show. So this wilderness, it's just enormous. And I'm worried about it, but I'm not that worried because currently the Congress has a Republican majority. And in general, the Republicans, it's a hard sell to get them to pass a wilderness bill, especially a bill this big. We'll have to see how that goes. But I'll get a letter in and I'll ask our supportive congressman down here, Daryl Issa, will help us, I hope. And maybe some of the other congressmen down here. So this is a federal wilderness bill, and we've lost a lot of acres of recreation to wilderness. There's an area I go to in Painted Gorge, and I take this trail, and there's signs along it, wilderness boundary. And I would like to go out in there, but it's closed. It's wilderness. Used to be open, closed from the Desert Protection Act. Thank you, Barbara Feinstein and Alan Cranston. Remember those guys, Dave?
Yeah, but they don't go off-road, so they...
No, they don't care.
They don't care.
The Sierra Club told them to close it, so there it is, getting closed.
Right. See, and that's another thing. That's these politicians, there should be some kind of a ruling that before you close something, you go and visit it.
And that would be wonderful.
Well, why
would... And take them out there in a Jeep and like, here, you drive. You think this trail should be closed? Look how fun this is.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I mean, that it's just, you know, the only way, I mean, I've gotten more things done by getting the person that didn't want to do it involved.
That's the right way to
do it. The Coronado Speed Festival, who would in their right mind think that you could put a live race on an airbase that's live on a military base, right?
Mm-hmm.
Put the base commander in a factory Cobra, whipped him around out there. He came back. He says, sign us up. And it was ended up being a DOD required what's that event that we do every year for the military? Not the Holiday Bowl, not the Fiesta Bowl. I can't think of the name of it. But anyway, every year, you know, we have the boat parades, and we have the airplanes out of Miramar and all that stuff. It was a DOD event, but people screwed it up and it went away. So I'm just saying, if I was a lobbyist, I would stand up in front of those people and say, all right, here's the deal. Next Saturday, we're going to go out to the desert. You're all in welcome. You're all invited. And we're going to go off-roading. And anybody that says no is fine. But we're going to make sure your constituents know that you said no.
That you did not want to visit an area that you're passing legislation that's going to directly affect it.
Exactly.
You don't even want to visit.
That's so, like saying, I don't like asparagus. We need to ban asparagus. Have you ever ate asparagus? No, nope. I hate it. Well, how could you say no if you've never eaten it?
I've been to the desert twice with Brian Jones.
See, but he's on our side.
Well, he's on our side, but he wanted to see.
But we got to see this area. He needs to go after his constituents. Because I'll bet you, if you were to go to any motorcycle shop, or not a shop, if you went to Honda, Kawasaki, Polaris, or any one of them said, hey, we're going to bring some legislators out to Glamis. Can you supply us with some press vehicles?
You would hope they'd bend over backwards to do that. They would.
I know they would, because they do press events all the time. But okay, so it's politicians instead of journalists.
You got to get to the right person. Yep.
Well, you'd have to go to Brian Jones would be a prime example. You don't think Brian Jones wouldn't want to go out to Glamis and ride side by sides?
Heck yeah, he loves that.
And motorcycles. I mean, Honda has their own trailer. They have a complete fleet of vehicles that would do events like that. And they probably wouldn't even charge you because, you know, butts in the seat is what sells them.
They get people in the seat like, hey, that was fun. Oh, we can sell some of these things.
All right.
I heard something.
Are we back? Are we back?
We're still on. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. My elbow hit the wrong button. Sorry.
Your elbow, your pinky.
Yeah.
So. Wait, did you break that elbow?
Yeah, he broke that elbow.
No, I never broke it. Yeah,
you're going to here in about 20 minutes. All right, but we are now going to take a break. S-T-O-R-C, Dirt Radio. You can tell us live. FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, welcome to SCRC Dirt Radio again. Last segment, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Lifestyle Garage in lovely Lakeside. Got yourself a truck, Jeep, Toyota, Chevy, Ram, Ford. Doesn't make any difference. You want to make it your own, personalize it, maybe do some maintenance, do some upgrades. Doesn't make any difference. Lifestyle Garage can do it all. And if you have a fleet of vehicles, they also do fleet service because they totally understand how bad you need your vehicle. You can give them a call at 619-499-5323. 619-499-5253. All right, so they're opening up some land that...
They're trying to close...
Oh, I thought you said they were opening some.
So the Indian Truck Trail is getting open. Oh. But the Idaho-Oregon Wilderness Bill... It's probably not going to go. I think the House will shoot it down, but they're trying. And they try to get these things on the books.
Well, they want
to
close Moab in the worst way. They're working on closing Moab.
People, and that's a whole different thing.
No, but I'm just saying.
What happens is these people introduce a wilderness bill, and then they do it year after year, and they sort of tune it, even though they know it's not going to pass. And at some point, there's going to be a Democrat majority in the House, Senate, and President, and then they have it all ready to go, and they'll just ram it through.
Right.
So this is, probably not going to pass, but it's a very big, very scary amount of land. I mean, 1 million+ acres. That's just a huge...
All you off-roaders, voting counts.
So, yes, go to our voting website. So, Dave, can we talk about cost recovery? Because there's something going on, and part of it's good, and part of it's bad. So the Bureau of Land Management has just, how do I say this? So the House Appropriations Committee is looking at this big bill, and the Interior Environment and Related Agencies Appropriations Act. So it's this big bill that works out money, and they want to remove the threshold for cost recovery on BLM land, which it's just amazing. So they want to make it so that when you do an event on BLM land or you do any kind of work that has a permit, whether it's a fun event or whether it's a
cleanup.
Well, the cleanups, we don't get permits. They just let us do that. But like if you're, say you're doing power lines or a pipe, like you want to run water, sewer, gas, fuel, whatever you want to do, some kind of land disturbing, for a smaller one, so for less than 100 hours of agency work, they're just not going to charge. It's just, I'm kind of excited and stoked and sort of surprised that they're doing this. So if you're doing an event.
But are you doing the work or are they doing the work?
So the Bureau of Land Management has to do stuff. I don't know what they do. So like our Lost Lizard Fun Run, we apply for a permit. They say, okay, you can have an event and you're going to have to pay us because we're spending time and effort to put on your event.
Are they really though?
Yeah. They take our route and their resource people look it over. And honestly, they don't do very much.
Okay. Because, I mean, if they just look at your plans and go, oh, no, no, you can't go left at that juncture, but you can go right. Okay, that'll be $5,000, please. Kind of it in a nutshell.
It's like they were 30, we give them $3,600 on our last one.
It was close. So but if they physically right. came out and did something.
Well, they send someone out there, but it's somebody who's at work anyway, and they would be out there anyway, so. And they just drive over to our. So this is a good thing, and I'm happy about it, and I'm wondering, and I'm not really sure, but I think that we're not going to have to give them our fees next year.
Oh,
I'm going to have to find out. So we give them $3,600. Now, what does that mean? So each official entry in the Lost Lizard Fun Run, $6 of that goes to the BLM.
Right.
So we had about 600 entries, so 6 times 6 is 3,600.
Mm-hmm.
So we might not have to pay that much this year. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Well, don't just ask the question. We don't have any problem doing that. But since we're a nonprofit, can you give us a breakdown of what we got for $3,600, please, for our taxes? Concept.
That's a great concept. I like that.
Well, you're not being mad. You're not being angry. It's just that, you know, because we don't want to get in trouble with the taxes, you know.
I think I talked about the National Forests and their cost recovery a few months ago.
Yeah.
But I brought some of the details to it, and I wanted to contrast that because they just did the opposite a few months ago. They increased cost recovery for, well, they raised the rates. So before, if it cost them $130, oh no, if they spent up to 8 hours, we paid $130. Now they moved it up to $255. So if Forest Service staff spent from 8 to 24 hours working on your project, it was $460. Now it'll be $1,019.
Okay, so you request these people to come work at your event?
No, it's like this. Like, okay, we want to do a little event on forest land. Okay, what would you like to do? And so we tell them what we want to do, and they say, okay, we're going to work on this, and we'll let you know if you get the permit. So when they work on it, they're going to spend some time, and then, okay, we're going to allow you to have the event, and we spent this much time, so you owe us $2,039. That's how that works.
Okay.
I would demand
an itemized list for taxes. That's all I could say.
It makes me crazy.
Yeah, but just think if they...
And those people are at work anyway.
Right.
Right. They're at work whether I'm having an event or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on in.
Yeah.
Scoonies is here.
Scoonies.
Are one of our great sponsors.
I know, it just makes me insane. And because they are the government, I mean, if you did that to them... actually, maybe they do because you sit right there in the middle. They actually do because, you know, look what it costs for a toilet.
Oh, yeah. What, $50,000?
Yeah, exactly.
Some huge amount for a $140 toilet.
So Ron just came in from Scoonies, and we're going to talk with him the next year. He's talking about, what do you call this program? Cost recovery?
Yes, it's called cost recovery. So there's two agencies that we are looking
to do an
at.
Event out in the desert.
So there's the Bureau of Land Management and there's the National Forests. So the Bureau of Land Management just are passing a rule that says if it takes an office less than 50 hours to process your permit, we're not going to charge you. And they used to charge us. So they're doing away with that. Meanwhile, over the National Forests, they are increasing almost triple what they charge a group like ours to put on an event in a national forest. And we don't do a lot of events in the National Forest in the Cleveland, but there's a lot of events in the San Bernardino National Forest. And then in the Northern California, like, they don't have deserts, right? They only have forests. Right. So when people go recreating in Northern California, they go to the forest. And so the poker runs and all the different right. running events that they have, those are in the forest.
So
their cost recovery is going up.
Yeah. So here's my point. If you're going to charge us to do an event, not the nice guys that now are not, because they may have had this topic come up, wouldn't you, as the person purchasing this permit, have the right to ask for an itemized list of what you're charging us for tax purposes, if you're a nonprofit?
Well, absolutely. And then what are you getting with that? Well, I mean, are you just getting a permit with it? Or, I mean, what else?
I mean, well, yeah, you get a permit.
You get an increase in cost. But
they're saying because they have to work on it. And what the working on it is, yep, that's the map. Yep, that's where they're going. So they're just taking advantage of the off-road community with no
and every other community
and every like, other community
the hunters and outfitters and
fishermen.
Guides those kind like if yeah. you like ask somebody to will you lead me out to go hunting
yeah
so because I don't know that area
gotta
so
get a permit
so you got to get a permit and that guy's who does that permit is gonna have to pay a bunch more money
yeah
or and that's what? Just gonna get passed on to the consumer at that point
well of course but yeah, the point yeah. is
but what are they doing to deserve this extra money the guys at work anyway
yeah they're the already guys, on the clock
the map reader or whoever
you're not doing it the at forest. Midnight
they just found a money grab I mean that's what it sounds like to me on this side here I mean
well that's exactly what it is and they you know it's like that's one thing sad about the off-road community. We're kind of passive, you know. We just love to go out in the woods. We like to go in the desert. You know, we're not confrontational kind of people.
That's the word I was looking at. We're not as confrontational as other groups.
No, but the
Sierra
groups
Club
that
is confrontational.
Hate the desert. Like we were talking about the there's a turtle out there in the desert. So I've told him, I says, how many hundreds of thousands of miles have you done? He says, turtles have you seen? Two. And then he says, the turtles only come out during the high heat. Well,
they come out in the spring and they hibernate all winter.
So we're off-roading while they're sleeping. Yeah, it's just. All right, we got to take a break.
Crazy.
Actually, we got to go.
Anything you Thank you, Dave, with? For
That's
a
good
great show.
Show.
I
I'm not
appreciate
half
it.
As angry as I usually am.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're doing the Scoonie side by side. I'll be much happier when we get.
Talk about those cool side by sides.
Now we're going to talk about motorcycle safety.
What?
Wait. Yeah, he's starting
San
his
Diego
own.
Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl, the program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit SDORC.org. That's SDORC.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.